Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Good to see you all. Empty nesters and eggs. So I'm going to share what I learned about overcoming challenges and growing at this stage in my life. So I have just 3 points and a couple of few scriptures. But overcoming challenges, you know, I think one thing that I learned is that you have to allow God to use you to demonstrate His power. So in Romans 5:3 it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Amen. So there's many purposes in suffering. One of them is to make us more like Christ. But the one I want to talk about today is that it gives God an opportunity to demonstrate His power through us. Recently I've been thinking is how can I have faith despite my troubles? So God can do something great through me and I can glorify Him. We need to see troubles as an opportunity instead of a hardship. Instead of feeling sorry for myself and staying in discouragement, I decided to find other ways to achieve my goals. So one example, many of you know I'm an attorney, and it's been a long struggle to try to get my career started for different reasons. But instead of looking at that as a hardship, I'd say, you know what, let me find different ways to get experience. Let me volunteer. Let me partner with other attorneys. And now doors are being opened that haven't been opened before. The second thing I want to share is that, as Steve preached a few weeks earlier, is we have to fuel our faith with our history with God. All of us here, many of us here, have a relationship with God, right? And you've seen how He fulfilled His promises in your life. You know, in Genesis 24, Abraham told his assistant, as you may recall, to travel to his hometown to find a wife for his son Isaac. The assistant asked Abraham, well, what if the woman doesn't come back with me? Right? And then Abraham replied, the Lord, before whom I have walked faithfully, will send His angel with you and make your journey a success. So how many of us, when we have a hardship, do we go back to look to our relationship with God and how He's been there for us as fuel for our faith, that He will get us through this current hardship, right? Look what Abraham went through. God gave him and Sarah a son when he was old. God spared Isaac when he was about to sacrifice him. God showed him mercy when he had a child out of wedlock. So we can look at our milestones of our faith and think about times when God brought things into our life and brought promises when it was unlikely to happen. And that will get you through your current circumstance. And then lastly, in Psalms 127:2, Psalm 127:2 reads, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those who He loves. I talked to one of my friends, he's a psychologist down in Florida, my college roommate, and he's asked me, how's it going, Keith? And I told him, you know, I'm not really there where I want to be, you know, in my job and everything, my career. And he talked about toiling. I said, Nathan, what does that mean? And he said, you know what, you want to work hard, you want to be excellent, but God doesn't want us to work excessively hard such that it's a burden to achieve our dreams. So the last point is, don't do it all on your own strength. I'm learning to strive to be excellent, have that high standard, but rest and put the kingdom of God first. You know, for all of us, whether you're edge or empty nester, this pressure in society to do things a certain timeline, isn't there? A certain age. I have to have this, have that. I can't be late. I don't want to be too early. I have to be right on time. But what this verse is also teaching us is that we live for a greater purpose than just to do certain things to get a certain goal. No, we do things with God. And when we do these things and achieve these goals without God, it leaves us empty and wanting more. So what we need to do is still be excellent, but still as we're excellent, showing ourselves and showing God that we're relying on Him and not our own strength to achieve our dreams. So I hope this helps you and that this can help you overcome your challenges and grow in your life. Thank you.
I'm gonna turn it. Good morning, church.
My name is Beverly Murray. I am now part of the Awesome Edge Ministry. And I'm grateful to be sharing today what I'm learning about overcoming challenges and growing at this stage of my life. I'm standing here before you as a miracle of God. And Michael, I have to go back a little bit to let you know where I'm at. My challenge started at a young age, 17, when I traveled from Barbados to America to pursue my dreams of becoming an airline stewardess / model. And little did I know that when I got here, that God had other plans for my life. Within 2 years of arriving in America, I got married to a man that I hardly knew. And that really was to get my papers, to be honest. Within 1 year of my marriage, I got sick. I woke up with swollen ankles. I was nauseous. I thought at the time I was going to have a child. I went to the doctor, and he said, something is going on with your kidneys. I said, where are my kidneys? I didn't even know what the kidneys were. I was always someone very healthy, very much, you know, doing great things, trying to live a healthy life. And he told me something was going on with my kidneys. I was like, can you just give me a pill? He said, oh, Beverly, this is permanent. I started to cry out to God. I said, God, why me? I'm so young. You know, my dreams, I want to do this. I want to travel the world. I want to experience life. I want to be, you know, a world traveler. That was my desire because I love cultures and stuff like that. And this really changed my focus because instead of wanting to travel the world and sow my wild oats, I now have to face dealing with sickness. I remember just crying out to God, asking Him why, over and over again. Within a year of being diagnosed with kidney problems, I was on dialysis. I don't know what dialysis is. It's where the artificial kidney doesn't work on your kidneys. You have to sit there 3 or 4 times a week to be cleansed, your blood to be cleansed of toxins. And through all that, I was like, okay, God, I have to focus now on eternal things. My dream of traveling the world and being a model and being an airline stewardess was all shattered. But imagine that, you're young, you know, and at the bottom of that, my ex-husband decided to walk away. Because I wasn't a Beverly that he would walk around showing his friends to anymore. I was someone that had to deal with an illness. But the amazing thing was, God knew what He was doing. And I started crying out to God. And I prayed, I picked up the book of the Bible, I started reading from Genesis. I don't know what I was looking for, but I know I was looking for God. I was looking for something to comfort me. And I went into a path park one Saturday, and the girl invited me to church. I didn't even ask her who she was or anything. I was like, church? Yes. Where? And I went to a Bible talk, and they were reading the Bibles. I said, oh, they're reading the Bibles too. And I was so moved by the people in the room, the love that I saw. I said, I want that. I want that love. I want that. I want so much love for me. But God heard my prayer. I studied the Bible and I got baptized within 2 weeks. I was baptized November 16, 1986. Thank you. I never looked back. I became a Christian. I was a Christian on dialysis. It never stopped me from going to seminars, never stopped me from going to Bible talk. I was excited to live. I was so excited when I saw what God did for me on the cross. I said, God, I love you. I understood why you did what you did. To get my heart to turn from going to the world and to turn towards you. I love my God. I was so encouraged. And I said, what, God? I'm going to live. I'm going to live. Isaiah 38:18 said, for the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praises, God. I said, I can't die. I'm going to live. And let me tell you, I was on dialysis for 8 years. And 1992, I got a kidney transplant. That lasted me almost 20 years. The doctor said, I don't know what you're doing, but this is miraculous. Okay? After that transplant, I'm still a disciple. I share my faith. I'm baptizing people. I'm leading Bible talks. Never slowed me down. Because I was so grateful for what God did to me. So, come. Doing all the things God wants me to do, seeking the kingdom first. In 2011, my brother got really sick. And I ended up having shingles, struggling, like what is going on in my family. And I lost that kidney. I said, okay, God. But you know, I never doubted that God had plans for my life. God knew what he's doing. Okay? So, March 8th, 2013, within 2 years, God blessed me with another transplant. Yeah. So what is going on? I said, it's God. It's the Lord, my God. Very, very good. Very, very good to me. So, having a transplant is great, but daily, I mean, every day I get up, I have to check my pressure. I have to check my sugar because one of the medications increases your sugar. I have to check my temperature. I have to take my medication at a certain time. And it's all being disciplined. It's all having to be disciplined. Because if anything is out of order, you call your doctor. And you say, this is what's going on. So that's what I did do this daily. But you know what? It's so routine to me now. It's like normal. But it's great, it's a great thing to know that God has a plan for my life. So, challenges still come, you know, for me. But I have to say that by knowing Christ and trusting him, that's how you overcome challenges. Because you can't trust someone you don't know, okay? By embracing suffering. Don't run from it, guys. If it happens in your life, if you're facing difficulty right now, don't run from it. Embrace it. Because you know what? 100% of the time, God is going to build your faith. My faith has grown over and over again because of what God has done for me. Another thing I learned is to be grateful. Each morning I open my eyes, I say, God, thank you for another day. Thank you that I can see, that I can hear. All the blessings, count your blessings every day. When God gave you life, it's a gift. Don't forget that. And I focus now on eternal life. What is eternal life? John 17:3 says, that we might know God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life, guys, is knowing who God is. That's what I seek now. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, fix your eyes on what is unseen, because what is unseen is eternal. Don't focus on now. Focus on what's eternal. That's how I learned to overcome my challenges. And how I'm growing right now, Romans 13:11 says, the day is near Our salvation is closer than when we first believe. So I focus now on really continually trying to grow in my walk with God. You know, I have a time now where I call it my tag time with God. It means time alone with God. I seek that daily. I fight for that. Even though my sinful flesh might want to be lazy and selfish, I fight to have that tag time. And what I do, if you've been to my house, you'll notice I have a closet. I have a blanket in there. I have my Bible. I have my prayer bowl. I have my prayer shawl. And what I do is I go into that room and I tell God how I'm really feeling. I tell him the ugly things of my heart. I tell him what I want. I tell him what I desire. And I leave it at the foot of the cross. God has answered my prayers over and over again. And that time alone with God is so vital for me to keep growing. And that time of prayer, prayer guys, prayer for everything. My dear friend Sandra, always in prayer, prayer for everything. And that's what we need to do. That's what helps me to grow, is to pray for everything. And also to trust God. You know, to trust God, to read the Bible daily, to get to know God. And you know, God blesses the results. In my Bible talk of 9 women, we have 2 ongoing studies who I believe are going to make it. We have 2 more who are willing to study the Bible. So God blesses righteousness. And I say that to say that I am a miracle standing before you today. And I give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. Because our God is a great God, a mighty God, and he's very, very good. Thank you.
Sharing with you guys. This has been one of the most, I would say, challenging, amazing, eye-opening years that I've had as a disciple. And one of the things that I learned from all that has happened is who I am and who my family is. You know, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And in Romans 8:14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And so I am learning, and I have learned, to affirm that I am God's daughter, that I have been adopted, that my Father is the creator of heaven and earth. And in Psalm 63:3, it says that his love is better than life. My brother, my Lord is Jesus. I am co-heir with him. And so I, as he is, have been given all of the great riches of this glorious kingdom. Many of you are my brothers and sisters. We share that same blood. And so when I'm going through hardships and challenges, I'm recognizing that God has given me a family. He has given me an identity, and I need to call on that identity. You know, we all undergo different types of challenges and persecutions, and he says in his word, don't be surprised by the fiery trial you are going through, right? As if something strange is happening to you. And I can tell you, in the beginning of this year, I thought a lot of stuff was strange that was happening to me. Now, God is my first love, but as many of you may know or may not know, I have a 21-year-old daughter. You know, who is definitely, you know, my heart and my love, and God says that our kids are a blessing. And at the beginning of this year, something really unexpected happened. Unbeknownst to me, she was in a dating relationship. I knew that, but I didn't know how far it got. And the day before Martin Luther King Day, she abruptly told me that she was leaving, and she had to do what she had to do. And I thought I was in the twilight zone. And the events that led up to that, I had helped her get a car so that she could work. and her boyfriend wound up crashing the car, and it was in the city, and so we had to go to Manhattan to pick up the car. So we're on Park Avenue South, 11 o'clock at night, and we're having this conversation about how she is about to leave. And I'm like, girl, are you crazy? Are you gonna leave me here before the tow truck comes? And I was like, this is not happening. So then she came with me, she got in the car, and as soon as the tow truck came, she jumped out of the car and said, I gotta do what I gotta do. And I was in shock. We had been together 21 years, single mom, right? I turned left, she's there. I turned right, she's there. And all of a sudden, she's gone. And that was very hard. And at the same time, you know, I was blessed with starting a new job. And I thought, this is great. I've been at my prior company for 5 years. And I was looking for a change. And I knew in my heart that I really didn't want to continue in that same path. But it was an opportunity to do something different, manage a bigger team, bigger company, you know, more money. So it was like, all right, God, you gave this to me. I'm going to go with it. And shortly after working on this job, going through all of that at the same time with my daughter, I realized that, oh my goodness, I don't know what I just walked up into. It was a mess. The relationship with my manager was very strained. The office environment wasn't really healthy. I began to lose a lot of weight. I began to lose sight of, you know, who I was as a disciple. I didn't have energy for a lot of things. Every Friday night, I would, no matter how late I left the office, I would go to the movies just to, like, you know, get a break. Like, I didn't want to experience my life, so let me go watch another life, right, in a movie. And I knew that this could not exist for a long period of time. And so, you know, during this time, I had to do a lot of praying, because I thought I was in the twilight zone. But God already told me, don't be surprised, you know, I'm with you. So I had to really understand, you know, who God was and how he was still working in me, how he had a great plan for me and for my daughter. And so through these tough, challenging situations of things that I just knew would be there, I knew my daughter would always be there. I'm like, I'm employable. I knew I would always be working. You know, I've had challenging opportunities. But it got to a point, you know, with the job that I had to make a decision. You know, do I stay and, you know, compromise my salvation, my happiness, my state of mind, my well-being, or do I leave? And then with my daughter, many great women gave me some great advice. You know, love her. I was like, do you know what she did to me? Love her. You know, don't just love her, you know, when she's doing everything that you want her to do. You know, love her when she's at her worst, just like how Jesus loves you. And I was like, wow. All right, so I don't know how I'm going to do this. Because my words for her are very few right now, but that was okay. And so I made a decision to love her. And for many months, we could not speak. She could not look at me. We couldn't even embrace and hug for something that we did every day. It just didn't happen. When she would text me, all I could say is, I love you and I'm praying for you. And keep it very simple. And God worked powerfully through that, where now we speak almost every day. She's still with the boyfriend, still pray for her, but our relationship got better. And she's seeing God. And what she did tell me, she was like, Mom, I do see God in you. She's seeing unconditional love. And I was like, amen, God. You're working this out. And then at the job. So, you know, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I don't know, God, if you want me to leave or not leave, but I know this is not the place for me. And so I had my own TV movie moment, you know, after praying and speaking to my great boyfriend. And he gave me great advice that night when I was struggling. And I was like, I don't know if I can go in tomorrow. He was like, pray about it and ask the God to give you peace with your decision. I said, oh my gosh, that is so profound. And it was, because after I prayed, I had peace. So I walked in Monday morning, I went to HR, and I'm in HR, but I went to HR and I said, here's my laptop. This is not the environment I feel that I can grow in. And today's my last day, effective immediately. Drop the mic now. And that was my last day. there. And I've never done anything quite like that before, but it was liberating. And so God had a plan, because Miss Gloria Gilder called me when I was on my way home and said, hey, my daughter wants to study the Bible. I was like, I'm on it, I am there. And guess what? I have free time now. And as you see, she is our sister in Christ in North Carolina. So God worked through that. So what I can say and what I've learned and how I've grown through these challenges, knowing who I am God's daughter. He has a great plan for me. Proclaiming it, claiming it, professing it, affirming it every single day, that he loves me, that his love is better than life. So no matter what I have or don't have, as long as I have his love, I am good. I also learned that grace and mercy, and do not judge, you know, to love my daughter, love unconditionally. And that inspired me so much so that God put on my heart to start a business, to coach women about loving your relationships. I'm like, God, I want to dedicate my life to loving people, loving when it hurts. Because I know I still need to grow in that, but it just made such a difference. And so I want to leave you with always, you know, go to God, seek God, pray. Pray when it hurts, pray when you don't want to pray. Have people pray for you. But know who you are in God, and he always prepares us. You know, don't be surprised by the trials that you go through. You know, when you're going through those trials, pray more. Because you know that he is with us. And so I just want to thank you all, and God is continuing to move powerfully in all of us. Amen.
Somebody left. It's okay.
Come on, coach.
Okay. I'm good. I probably don't even need this. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's certainly an honor and a pleasure to be able to speak to you this morning. I've been asked to address the empty nesters. The term empty nester. Politically correct for old. So, and to talk about some of the challenges it is to go through transitions in our lives. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's a difference between transition and change. Change happens to us. Transition happens in our mind. Change happens quickly. Transition happens slowly. The next thing you know, you wake up and it's like, I'm this old? What happened to my youth? Right? And that's kind of a very sobering situation, because for me, it's uncharted territory. I've never been old before. This is brand new. Wow. I got to learn how to be old. Because people can tell me about it, but they don't walk in these shoes. Right? And so, the transitions in life are very difficult. However, with God, all things are possible. We know that. You know, before I go on, I have a couple things. You know you are, I found this on the internet. You know you are suffering from empty nester syndrome if you have thrown out the better part of the last several 1 gallon jugs of milk, but still can't bring yourself to buy 1 quart cartons. You call the power company and ask them to check your meter because the hot water bill is so low. You are shocked when you notice you can push the buttons on your car radio and know what stations you'll get. They've been gone for 3 years, and you still cook enough for your husband to have seconds and thirds and fourths. And you still hide your best makeup. Amen. Okay, so let's move on with talking about transitions in life and what that's like. You know, for me, a couple of things have happened to me that have been pretty impactful. Just before becoming a Christian, which is what led me to Christianity, I clinically died. In 2000, I went through a tunnel, came out into a field of beautiful sunflowers, and was engulfed with this huge, massive, warming, glowing light that never blinded me, but just comforted me. And as I was in this state, because I'm in the ambulance, I mean, I don't know this is going on, I'm in the ambulance and they're administering CPR, they're hitting me with the paddles because I have checked out. But while I'm there, I remember these words specifically in my mind. This is a great place, but I don't want to stay. And I open up my eyes and there's two paramedics huffing and puffing over me. And I looked at him, I said, I died, didn't I? They said, yeah, but we got your back. It was at that point that God was really not a big part of my life prior to that. Oh, let me tell you, just as Beverly spoke, God became a significant part of my life at that point. Because I realized that my life was not my life. It was the world's life. And I was allowing myself to be in situations that was destructive for my family, for my children, for my friends, and for myself. And that all changed the day I got baptized and the day that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it's been that way ever since. So, you know, for me, now that I embark on this career of counseling, you know, I find a lot of very sad and challenged souls, very hurting people whose minds are distorted and influenced by Satan, causing us to get stuck in situations. And one of the scriptures that I try to refer to, even from my life, and I encourage you, is, and we all know this one, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, I like the NIV version, but I really admire and gravitate towards the NRSV. So I'm going to read that one. And kind of as you, if you have your NIV Bible, kind of see the differences in the words and how they're impactful, what they mean to you. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. I like those words much better, because it's not about prospering, because I can get caught up in prosper. It's about my welfare. Whether I'm in a positive situation or a negative situation, if I can reflect that God is there for my welfare, that things will work out in God's design, if I surrender to the Lord of Lords. When I surrender, I become pretty vulnerable. That's hard. Because, you know, I'm pretty modest. You know, there was an old joke that we had in our house. It was, my wife would say, "Stop doing that. You're so conceited." And I would say, "Honey, that's not possible." "Why is that?" "Well, because conceited is a fault. I don't have any of those." So, for all of us empty nesters and other people who are here, I encourage you to go to that scripture and hold that close and dear to your heart, knowing that, you see, the Bible tells us it's not if we have struggles, right? It's when. So they're coming. So don't be surprised, right? And we pray a lot of times for, "Oh God, take this away from me. Oh God, help me to stop thinking about this." I don't know about you, but I haven't been able to stop my thoughts at all. They show up. No matter what I do, they show up. So, God, don't you listen? No. My thoughts are there. They're not going away. The difference is the attitude that you have when the thoughts show up. Acknowledging they're there. Not be judgmental, just acknowledge they're there. And if you're in a terrible situation, yeah, it hurts. Okay, you're right, it does. Acknowledge that. Don't fight it. Because the more you try to push it away, the more it shows up. I tell people in my sessions, okay, you want things to go away? Here, I'm going to ask you. Don't think of a pink elephant. So when you don't think of something, guess what you're doing already? You're thinking about it. So why fight it? Because you're not going to win. It's learning to acknowledge the feelings and thoughts that are there. Not give in, right? We can either think things are going to work out or things are not going to work out. That's our choice. And God is working with us to make things work out. We cannot sit idly by and say, "Okay, God, go to work. I'm waiting." Well, yeah, God could do that, but he would prefer that we participate as if he's doing it. Because when we act that way, it's surprising how we start moving towards God, which is so important for me, and I believe many of us in this room, if not all of us, right? So when we find ourselves moving away from God, it's sort of like stepping back and going, "Okay, where am I going?" Don't be mad at yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Just recognize there's another character in this world who's right there talking to you. And you say, "Okay." See, you can't get rid of Satan. I don't care what you think. You can't get rid of Satan. He's there. He's here. And so is the Holy Spirit. It's just which one do I choose to listen to? Right? And Satan is speaking to us all the time. And so is the Holy Spirit. They're both right here. And when we're in despair, sometimes Satan grabs hold and can take us down. That's when we just take a breath. You know, there's this key word that's happening today, right? Especially in my field. It's called mindfulness. Maybe you've heard of it, right? Being mindful, right? It's like thinking about what you're thinking. Interesting. Because a lot of times we don't think about what we're thinking until it's too late. Right? So I want to encourage you all as we walk through this life that this is temporary. And that we're going to have struggles. It's not about being happy. It's about being joyful. I'm going to close with a couple of things. But one of the things that I share with my clients is I talk about Paul in prison. Paul's been beaten. He's in a dank, disgusting, you know, there's no toilet facilities in his cell. He's chained. Do you think he was happy to be there? No. Do you think he realized that he was in a terrible place? Absolutely. So he didn't fight the place where he was at. He chose to focus on what? On God. And what did he do? Shared his faith. Sang. Just decided to be joyful. Even though he's chained in a dark place, he didn't allow himself to get stuck in where he was, but yet he was able to stay focused on what was important and eternal. So, for us old folks, I have a scripture, and then I'm going to kind of close out. Isaiah 46:4. I'll give you a second if you want to turn there. Isaiah 46:4. And this is for everyone in the room, not just us politically correct empty nesters. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. And I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Praise be to God.